SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and, excuse me, at our website, stevebick.com. And not coming to you from the 1863 Club. Couldn't catch the early train from Greenwich. So we'll hustle in after the show. Coming to you from the, let's see, from the 1848 Club, which is when this house was built, as opposed to when the Saratoga race course commenced its operation. Well, the week started, speaking of commencing operations, the week should be just, I mean, every day forecast-wise, absolutely glorious. And, you know, those mornings that you particularly love for the horses, and they love this, these chilly-ish, because it this morning, no place goes from 0 to 60 or from 100 to 50 like upstate New York. It's amazing. You know, you can be sweltering, and then you need a light sweater or a vest on a morning like this, and the horses love it. They buck and squeal and kick, and they, nothing they love than a cool morning after a hot stretch. In terms of the start of the week, both here and at Del Mar, certainly some notable performances. And how about the couple different prices that helped set up a $44,000 pick six carryover today at Saratoga? And I know that some people, I saw, you know, consternation and you know, lots of, you know, curious responses to Fermento's win. My own response was, I'm an idiot, because if you're a Thoroughgraph user, you had no excuse. When it was clear what was happening, I just started to shake my head. 7-pound Bug Boy and dropping down. And yes, he's a 7-year-old now, but there was plenty. On a figure standpoint, he was faster than anybody in there. And, you know, getting a chance, $35,000. What had he been in most recently? When last seen? Allowance company in March at Oaklawn. And, you know, he'd been away, you know, for an extended period. But still, you know, first time in for a tag, that used to be one of the great angles. First for a tag. And the Bug Boy. It was right there. So, crazy 31, you know, he wasn't going to be third choice. He wasn't going to be 9-2, but 31-1 was absolutely crazy. So congratulations to Nick, and I had been, you know, a little bereft of wins at Saratoga the last couple of summers. So there it is for Nick, and we had that nice conversation with him. You also, of course, had the Honorable Miss and the Louisiana bred. minute to stardom. What a nice win this is for everybody involved. Jose Camejo and Miss Evelyn, Miss Benoit, and Britt Lynn, Star Guitar, the Louisiana Bread Program, you name it, and Alex Cintron. And boy, have we been advertising his name the last, what, month? There was the, I tweeted yesterday, there was the win for Mike Trombetta, the grade one, first of his career. Wet Your Whistle in the Highlander. Then days later that week, you know, this is all 3.5 weeks ago, he wins the grade one. He gets his 1,000th win. I accidentally said 2,000th win on the tweet. His 1,000th career win. And now 2 weeks later, first stake win at Saratoga, the grade two honorable miss. And she was in charge immediately. And when Santana lacked his usual aggressive posture, when it came to Mia Mischief, I mean, she, you know, she has stalked, but you know, she doesn't have to have the lead by any means, but she ended up kind of wrangled back. And, you know, if you looked at pace projections, you looked at, you know, whichever ones you use, Timeform's got their pace projector, Thorograph has got an opening quarter pace projection that I love to glance at to get an early feel. And, you know, there were other horses that easily, including Hours to Run, the Larry Jones. Hours to Run could have been up on the lead. You know, was close enough. It was a length and a half, give or take, two lengths back early on. But, you know, these are good sprinting fillies and mares. And Minute to Stardom, 22-2, 45 flat. You know, coming off the turf sprint win at Laurel, before that at Delaware. You know, she has now been off the board just once in her entire career. That came at Saratoga last year in the test, which was, you know, a big ask at the time, graded stake debut. And she's just gotten better, has come back into the middle part of the year. You know, Al Stahl had her up until March, and Camejo got her starting in May, April, May. She's now 4-for-5, going three quarters. Hadn't seen, I don't think, a figure wasn't up earlier this morning, but it's going to be solid. It's going to be 90-ish, 90-something. So, what a nice win. Cintron, you know, maintaining the edge. And when they turned for home, you could see, I mean, there are a couple of horses starting to range up. And you know, you looked like there were four or five lining up across the track at the top of the stretch. But she burst away. And that was it. And she was, you know, really starting to run. And so at 20, just under 21-1, 43-40, your mutual. And the pick six, which had been obviously, you know, gotten a head start toward a carryover with Fermento, was fermented at that point with Minute to Stardom. So 43,700, almost 44,000 today on a really tricky sequence, which we will get to. And, of course, it includes the Morrissey. We have the grade one chase today. Should talk about the chase a little bit. Radician, I'll save that for Bill Gallo's visit. We'll get his preview of today's Smithwick. But the import, and congratulations to Leslie Young and Patty and the whole family Redisian, first time North America, wins the Kaiser. And very pleased for Leslie Young, who does a great job and works so hard. And, of course, Patty continues to recoup and come back from that just awful, awful fall and doing good. So we'll talk to Bill. We'll talk to Gallo about today's big group in the Smithwick. Let's get his thoughts on what went on yesterday. The other action, nice performance again. The Luis Saez, boy, you put him on the front end. He's won a couple for us going back to Williams Lucky Gray. He kind of lulls everybody to sleep, and he did it on Rinaldi for Jimmy Bond yesterday. Got a couple of nice performances. How about Vicky Oliver and Javier Castellano? Pastime gets up in the last couple of jumps, paid a nice 1380 there, and had a pretty good set of multi-race results yesterday. Hope you did well. I'm not going to get a chance today to. I looked at the pick six, and that's all I wrote up because I knew we were going to be in trouble. And then tonight, of course. We've got the party that the fundraiser at the city center, which we're really looking forward to. So we'll take a glance out at Del Mar as well. And, of course, you had the feature there, Cougar. We talked to John White yesterday, and pretty formful result in terms of what went on out there. Just reaching for the full results from Del Mar. And give me 1 second, because, boy, there is no shortage of past performances and charts. I also got the Saturday feature, the Bing Crosby, the grade one. And, of course, the two sprint grade ones on the weekend, the Vanderbilt here and the Crosby out there. Anyway, campaign in that Cougar 2, in control, Rafael Bejarano, and, you know, ridden very confidently. Just a little under 4 to 5, 70 cents on the dollar, paid 340. And John Sadler, this one for Woodford. Sadler continues to kind of dominate out there. We'll see about, you know, some of the weekend results when they and the opportunities for Sadler there. How about Baffert in that fourth race? Leading score. Not often you're getting $20, 2020. This was the Earnhardt Homebred by Midnight Loot. Leading score. 9-1, Martin Garcia, wire to wire, and Baffert 1-2 here, because it's 7-2, Hot Sean was second. 37-30, Baffert exacta. Those were the two of the main events. Eddie Haskell, he wins that opener we talked about with DeSormo. So, nice late afternoon. You know, that 5 o'clock start's kind of cool. And I should also fold in the Finger Lakes result as we head to the break. The New York Derby and the New York Oaks, and of course this led into the Saratoga action. And what proved to be a very nice cross-country pick five. You had two minor upsets, modest upsets. You know, the field in that Oaks, when newly minted, did not run, did not participate for Linda Rice. That left the field at four. And
Jackie Stauffer's Wait a Minute absolutely was playable and had to be used. Here's an example of a horse that once stretched out was like a different, like a completely different horse. A discreetly mined out of a Roi Normand mare, bred by Gary and Stacy. I'm going to call them, I'm going to say Machis, M-A-C-H-I-Z. I've not seen their name. And Wait a Minute, what a big win this is. A $10,000 OBS purchase that has just blossomed with Added Distance. It's won at First Asking at Finger Lakes last fall, and now is running 80 buyers when stretched out. And she absolutely turned back Espresso Shot, who was 30 cents on the dollar. So you had a, you know, minor, modest upset to start the pick five. Then came the exciting Derby, and this was really a good race. Blind Willie McTell, who did not go favored. Not that Brady took all the money. 3-2 he went off and was seemingly in control, was turning away Just Right, the Pletcher. And meanwhile, Eric Cancel is making his way up the rail on Bank It. And another stake win for Joe McMahon's Central Banker, who continues to just plug along, and not just New York bred company either. Central Banker, a success. And Bank It, third win, and he's now, you know, approaching $500,000 in earnings, and back against State Breds. The Mike Lee fell short, but he wins the middle leg of the Big Apple Triple, and I'm sure we'll see him in the Albany. So that got things going, and then those three prices, he ended up with an $1,855 cross-country pick five result. Got a fun Thursday. We're going to talk to Bill Gallo, and we're also going to talk a fascinating product that you need to know about for pre-show and betting two-year-olds early in the season. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I build a home and wait for someone to tear it down. Then pack it up in boxes, head for the next town. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one. I started to tell you as we were heading for the break, and of course it's Thursday, so we'll talk to Haskin. We'll do three-year-old recapping of Haskell, and we'll look to the Jim Dandy and Curlin with him. And of course the Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy actually ended up with six. And there had been a little bit of a, let me see, where is it? There had been a little hint that maybe we were going to get a bulkier field for the Jim Dandy, but everybody important that had been rumored is involved. So we'll look at that with Haskin, and of course the Bowling Green got drawn as well. Big bulky field. I'll probably use that for the Beat Bick Challenge because it's just too good of a race. All the usual suspects it are in there. You got Maker, you got a full Mott and all kinds of interesting Sadler's Joy, who I think I kind of like going into Saturday. Anyway, so we'll do plenty of that as the morning unfolds. Right now, Bill Gallo joins us, and coming out of yesterday's Kaiser, which was already exciting and a great way to get the stakes schedule for the jump races off and running and jumping. And then today we come back with the first grade one of two on the summer. And the Patty Smithwick just comes up spectacularly. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Talk about bulky. 12 horses in a jump race. A grade one at that. So I'm really looking forward to today.
Well, and yesterday, we talked to Sean Clancy and covered a lot of ground with Sean, and he said he cannot remember the last time he saw an also eligible list for one of these.
No, not only that, but the AE horse portrait is actually here. Elizabeth Voss sent all three horses up just in case there was a late scratch. Unfortunately for her, there isn't a late scratch.
So wow.
Portrait will sit out today and come back for the Turf Riders, but that speaks well for our horse inventory right now, particularly at the higher level. The one unfortunate part is Optimus Prime. He was the high weight off the nominations, and he was injured in his last work before this race. Been looking forward to this race. He's our top-rated horse in the country at the moment, but he's on the shelf for the rest of the year. With his exit, that literally opens the door wide. It's a wide open race. It's a great betting opportunity for sure. for those that like to bet on the jump races. But it's you can make a case for any number, if not every horse in the field. And I've never seen anything like it.
Well, we'll do that, and we're going to look at the group. I want you to first recap a little bit of the Kaiser yesterday and give us a feel for what the discussion was, because here's a first North America Redisian, and Sean had, you know, Clancy had a couple of reservations. There were some things to recommend him, and there were some things to maybe hold you back. And just always delighted when Leslie Young succeeds. And, you know, tell us about owner Sharon Shepard and, you know, what this portends for Redisian going forward in the later part of the year.
And it was a big effort. They were very, very pleased. Happy for Leslie. I actually had dinner with Sharon Shepard last night. She was over the moon winning a race. You know how hard it is to win a race in Saratoga. And this is a new horse, first run over here. In fact, the first two finishers, Redisian and Arch My Boy, were both first-time U.S., both ran terrific. It was a great race, nine horses in the field. Very, very competitive as they turn for home. They don't jump that last fence, so they ran through that wing. It was a clutter of horses. Very exciting finish, but nobody was more happy or excited than Sharon Shepard, the owner. She has a small stable with a few horses with Leslie. Very enthusiastic owner, and they're looking forward to a month from now. I'm hoping that the horse will come back. I can't see any reason why not. The horse will pick up 3 pounds for the win, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, you know, the field is and that group of novices is deep right now. Very unusual. We've gone through spells where the horse inventory at the upper level has been very, very weak. But with nine running yesterday, and who actually would have had 10, Shepherd's Horse Sportswear, the Frankel gelding was a bet scratch in the morning. Or I'm not sure what the issue. He had a minor little abscess, I think. I just came from Shepherd's Barn. The horse is perfectly sound this morning, so he'll come back in a month. But things are looking bright for us right now.
What does Redisian, what does he target? Does he go right to the stakes company, or can he still, you know, pick off some low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, he, you know, that's a good question. I'm checking out right now as we speak, because I believe he's still in the novice category, not winner prior to March 1st of last year, or never won three. So I believe he's still catches that condition. If not, he jumps into the grade ones. He's young. He's 5 years old. But he's got promise. He's got a late kick, as you saw. And, you know, he was tangled up on the inside. He was locked in there pretty tight for most of the race. And somehow Garner got him loose. And once he got loose, he ran very well. So it'll either be this novice division one more time up here, or that we also have the race at Belmont, which is a launch pad for the $100,000 novice race at Far Hills in October. So they've got several options for the horse, either novice or open. With Optimus Prime out, we'll see how today's race develops. Winston C. is a perfect example. Winston C. is eligible for the novice, and Shepherd chose the grade one here over that. It sounds like a clever move now with Optimus Prime out, but Winston C., who a lot of people are touting, is going to run in the grade one today. And that may be the route for Redisian moving on.
Well, a few notable elements to this, including, as you mentioned, the two first-time North American runners, Redisian and Arch My Boy, the Arch Penko for Richard Valentine. But Kate Dalton, third in here, with help from Heaven, who took plenty of money and went off second choice. The betting was interesting here. It all gravitated to Redisian, who ends up going off favored. It's been a rare high-level event this season, Bill, that Jack Fisher is kept out of the money, but Jack finishing fourth, fifth, and then well down the chart. So everybody making hay while when they have their opportunity.
No, it's a good point. Fisher's been on such a hot streak; it becomes discouraging to everybody else.
Yep.
And every once in a while, and certainly don't root against somebody, but it's nice to spread the wealth a little bit. And, you know, one of the smaller stables jumps up and wins a race like that, and beating three Fisher horses, it encourages others. But don't count Fisher out. I mean, he's got 25 wins on the season, which is usually more than enough to win the entire season. He's absolutely on fire. He's got four running today. It's a brave bet to bet against Fisher, for sure. But we'll see how it goes today. Fisher wasn't, I don't think he was too terribly disappointed yesterday. His horse has been run that badly. I mean, Our Legend was ninth and last, but the others were in the hunt. Storm Team and Lord Justice. Lord Justice was fourth and Storm Team fifth, so they were very competitive in a very competitive race, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them, at least two of the three, come back in a month.
Well, we can start to look at the Smithwick and Bedrock, another opportunity for Leslie Young to come right back with a first North American runner. And this looks like a fairly serious one, a six-year-old by Fastenet Rock and Mr. Naylor giving Leslie an opportunity with Bedrock, 3-1. Let's start there.
He's a very highly rated horse. It is a handicap, this race. And I did assign the weights, and Optimus Prime was high weight at 58. So Bedrock is second in the weights at 54, and that's based on his foreign rating and obviously his form. His form is very, very good. I've never seen the horse. I saw him this morning at the receiving barn. I just took a glance at him. At his best, he's going to be very good. First-time lace, it's something that Medician got for the first time yesterday as well. Can't ignore that. Certainly, you know, can and does help these foreign horses coming over for the first time. So he's been here for a while. Be interesting to see how he runs.
7-2 on Vosny Romany, one of those four Jack Fishers. And this one, an Arakan 8-year-old that is making the first North American start. Participated at some of the notable stops, Sandown and Ascot and Cheltenham and so forth. Looks like this has been a very respectable jumper during his European career. 10 for 32, 7 seconds, 3/3. What can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you very little about the horse. Once again, I haven't seen him. Fisher's had him for 2 or 3 months, I think. Been training down in Maryland. He's clearly a classy horse, an older horse. What I can tell you is the jockey. The jockey's name is Sam Twiston Davies, and I met him for the first time yesterday. I actually looked him up yesterday morning. He's 26 years old. He's won 1,000 jump races in England from 6,000 rides. He's been riding for 10 years, he told me yesterday. I actually stopped him yesterday in the jock's room, and I said, did I read that wrong? You've ridden 6,000 jump races? And he just chuckled. But it's talk about experience. I think he's the fourth leading jockey at jump jocks right now. And in England, he's very, very good on experience alone. He's got his pairing with Vosny Romany. It'll be something to watch. I'm anxious to see the horse run. I'm anxious to see him ride him.
Well, let's stay with the Invaders and Pepe Le Pew, who I'm sure will get some play just on name alone. This is also Jack and also an Arakan for Mrs. Johnston.
Yeah, I mean he's much lower rated, and you can tell by the weight, the 44 versus the 54 for Bedrock. So he's 10 or 15 pounds lower on the rating over there. Haven't seen him. He hasn't been here as long. Fisher Net didn't indicate anything positive or negative. But the pairing with Danny Mullins, is once again, I like the jockey pairings. The guys like Mullins and Tristan Davis, these guys come over. That, you know, these are top European jockeys. And, their style is, they're very stylish in their riding. They're very, very strong finishing riders. I don't know if you noticed, Dame Owens was on Boss Man yesterday, and I happened to notice on the replay a couple of times I watched it. He gave that horse a very aggressive horse. He got tired late, but he gave him a very aggressive ride through the lane. They're both, I'm sure, or I know Danny, I've seen him ride several times here in the U.S. Strong, strong finishing riders, much more experienced than the American-based Irish jockeys that we have now. But I like the matchup, Pepe Le Pew and Mullins, and I like the matchup with Brosnay Romanet and Sam Twiston Davies.
I got to ask you, Bill, because I had the question on Twitter, and I didn't get either Twitter or an email. Is Mullins related at all to Willie?
He's a nephew. Yes.
Nephew. There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
Yep. Very good. There's the answer to that one. From the European invaders, let's jump around and take a look at who else. And I suppose we should include Shepherd's Winston C. making a second North American run after showing up at Nashville in the frost and running very well there. And Winston C., and I'm just looking price-wise, 6-1, so third, fourth choice or so for Shepherd, and here's Garner again.
Yeah, winning jockey from yesterday. The horse ran a terrific race, first time U.S. at Nashville. It was in the novice race. That 100,000 is that Frost is a novice race. It only got beat 3/4 and had a little bit of traffic trouble in the lane. I watched that replay a couple of times the other day. The youngest horse in the field, he's a baby at 5. But, you know, once again, it's a strategic move by Shepherd jumping into the grade 1. And he had made that decision, I believe, before Optimus Prime exited the field. So I think they're pretty high on him in the barn. I just came from Shepherd's barn. And he didn't say much, but, you know, the fact that he's in this race as a grade 1 and still eligible for novice, I think speaks volumes.
Who else in here, Bill? Who do we have to consider and some of the prices?
Show Courts, you know, won the race. It was last summer, a long time ago. He's been a little bit off his form since, but it's, you know, Horses for Courses, Kingsley, the horse has good flat form. I wouldn't ignore him. Elizabeth Voss has been very quiet all year, and she's got the Kingsley double here, the modem and No Wonder. No Wonder is off a really big effort at Fairhill in May. Modem is a classy horse, and at his best, he certainly can compete with these. So I wouldn't ignore I wouldn't be surprised if one of the two, if not both, of the Voss horses runs very well today. You got Jack Doyle on Modem and Kieran Norris on No Wonder. Doyle is the primary stable rider, so of the two, if I had to lean towards one, I'd lean towards Modem.
Well, I love this. This is going to be wildly entertaining and looking forward to see how this shakes out. And, Bill, before we go as well, and, of course, post time, 12:45 for the Smithwick today. And I got to tie in to what I sent you Saturday night. I went to see my father when things went sort of sideways in at Monmouth, and he showed me a book that was given to him by a relative of his wife, and I sent you that picture where your dad had introduced, and speaking of Mullins,
right.
Here's more Mullins clan, and we never talk enough about your father's famous career as a sports cartoonist, and I was so tickled, you know, when he showed me that book, and I said, oh my God, I gotta include Bill Gallo in this.
Oh, that was great. I appreciate you doing that. Harry Rice sent me the 100 years bold copy of the Daily News celebration, which had some things of my dad in there, which is wonderful to reminisce about that. He's a legend in New York as a cartoonist. I'm very proud of him. But anyway, enough about that.
No, not enough. I'm going to take a picture too. I'm going to send you a picture. I've got an original Mullins in my office that my late friend John Hubbard, which is very cool, that involves Colgate football.
Well, my father idolized him. He was he clearly was very fond of Willard Mullins' work, as he was of many artists. But now everybody's thinks of my dad as being one of the greatest of all time, which I'm sure he was. It's clearly a dying art. You don't see too many sports artists in America anymore.
Is there a book? Is there collections of his of your father's work?
There is a book. There is a book that he did. Five or 6 years before he passed. It's called Drawing a Crowd. It's a wonderful book. I'll get you a copy. Next time I see you, I'll hand you a copy. But in fact, my brother and I are going Monday. We're going to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Cooperstown. We're donating a bunch of his baseball works, which we're very happy to do. And they're going to digitize it and create a gallery of some of his finer baseball art. I mean, we had about 100 last year, and I'm going to add another 100 to it this year. So we're excited about that, and kind of keep the memory of my dad alive. So it'll be fun.
I love it. And I just pulled it up, Drawing a Crowd, Bill Gallo's Greatest Sports Moments. Very cool.
Yeah, it's a great little compilation of his work and the history of his life. It's kind of a fascinating life. He was a Marine. He was, he loved the military. He loved boxing. And he was a boxer in the Marines. And in some way, he ended up at the Daily News for 60-some-odd years. He once told me his resume read very simply. It's Marine Corps, New York Daily News.
There you go. A before and after. Well, I'll put this picture up and a link for everybody. In fact, the cover of the book, which he must have drawn, obviously.
Yeah.
What was the name? I have a New York Mets thing. What was the woman, the sort of dowdy lady?
Basement Bertha was her name.
Basement Bertha, because they were because the Mets were always in the basement.
Exactly, she represented the basement, the last place team, in whatever sport it was. But she became very famous and a part of him. But he created a lot of different characters based on his youth and growing up in Manhattan and Queens. But he had quite an imagination, far better than mine. I ended up in the horse world.
Well, this is great, and I tell you what, I got to look up in the records. I got to see if there's been a filly named Basement Bertha. Somebody must have named a horse Basement Bertha.
I can't remember. I don't know. There's been a few standard breds that have had the Gallo name attached to it, but. I cannot remember a Basement Bertha. I don't know how fast she would be. Basement Bertha was a little plump.
Well, for those of you that have got a yearling that's a little that's into the feed tub, and if you're a Met fan, here's your opportunity. To grab a piece of Met history, and of course, celebrating 50 years. We just went through a week of the moon landing, the Apollo 11 stuff, and really parallel to all of that was the Mets' ascent to first place.
Right.
At the same time.
That's interesting times, for sure.
Well, there is a basement bargain in 1968, but there is no Basement Bertha. So here we go. You got an original, a rare opportunity for an original name that's never been used.
If she runs to her name, she'll run last. That's the problem.
Well, but eventually made it to the top of the heap, the Miracle Mets.
Yep.
Bill, I'm glad I brought it up, and always a pleasure. I will see you in a couple of hours.
Sounds great. See you at the track. Thank you, Steve.
Not at all. Bill Gallo, everybody, the AP Smithwick today, the Patty Smithwick, the grade one. And then, of course, later in the meet, the New York Turf Riders Cup handicap. And the highlights, really, of the jump season at Saratoga. And we're going to take a quick jump away from here and come back. And Michael Mulligan is going to join us. And Mulligan's product, Best Breeze, very well known to two-year-old buyers. But the opportunity to use his program, his ratings, and his evaluations at the two-year-old Breeze shows? Well, with all these two-year-olds that are showing up, you get the opportunity to utilize how horses performed in the Breeze shows. And you can watch the Breezes. You can see the numbers. You can see what kind of time they ran. But that doesn't tell the whole story, not in the least, because as you know from conversations we had during the Breeze show season, you get crosswinds, heavy crosswinds, especially in Florida, and you don't really know about how a horse galloped out. You know, we talk about gallop outs a lot on the workouts, you know, for afternoon racing. Well, in the Breeze shows, you know, the video only goes until, you know, just past the wire and just into the turn. But a lot of the two-year-olds keep galloping out. And those that are tracking the Breezes, they keep very close tabs on the gallop outs, and they've got notes on them as well. So a lot more information than just 10 and 2, and that's it. So Michael Mulligan is going to join us because I think you need to know about this. Bet Best Breeze, the two-year-old season really now rolling along, and this is something that could be a tool in your two-year-old maiden evaluations. Back after this with Michael.